This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hanson of FantasyPoints.com. The program is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, per usual, and a pretty jam-packed program here on a Tuesday leading up to Wild Card Weekend. We will review here at the top in the first segment, and spoiler alert, if we did poorly, we may not be doing this segment, but we did put out 15 picks for the VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide, the first edition, and we have the results. They were season-long futures. I took 10 overs because I'm an over guy, but I also took 5 unders because apparently I'm also an unders guy. Actually, I might actually be an unders guy. We'll get into the results. We'll talk about what we got right, what we got wrong. There was one that was so close, but the player missed half the season and still almost got it. So we'll talk about that here in the first segment. We'll chop it up with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data, per usual on a Tuesday. He's already been in the data mining room ahead of the Wild Card Weekend, and he's got 4 or 5 players to talk about with good data points, and maybe we could play some of the props. And then we will, you know, mixing it up here. The regular season is over. I still am an old head who likes to draft one draft. It's like best ball for the playoffs. So the number one thing there is figuring out how many games all the teams are going to play. More games equal more points. So I've done that already. I've kind of outlined that yesterday. So we will go through all my player rankings for the entirety of the postseason, not just for this week. This is for all the marbles. If you're in one of those drafts, some formats, you know, you can only draft one player from a team, things like that. But this is just a generic, here's how I see all the players ranking for the entirety of the postseason, based mostly on my projected number of games played. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast, as always, wherever the hell you're getting your pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. Well, let's get right on into it, because early in the season, I had a little meeting with our guy, Steve Cohen, one of the big wigs here at VSiN, and he was interested in some content from yours truly for the VSiN Betting Guide. I mean, this is all I do is cover the NFL and talk about player stats and roles and things like that. I'm like, yeah, sure. So I went through it. I looked as best as I could. I looked at all the lines, compared it, kind of did a little processing of everything. I stare at it. You know, sometimes I may speak in tongues when I'm doing this, but I just stare at the board, and good plays come to me. And then I go and I look at them, double check, triple check, all that, and come up with 10 overs and then 5 unders. Well, we didn't get off to a good start, quite frankly, because my biggest mistake, obviously, this year, if you've been watching this show, you know it's all about my Minnesota Vikings. But hey, in my defense, I mean, they won 5 in a row at the end of the season. They were only a half a game out of the playoffs in a disastrous campaign. I mean, things could not have gone more poorly for the Vikings. And I guess I should have learned my lesson. I was feeling it, though, because in large part, I saw the NFL being wide open this year. And it is, but the Vikings, they don't handle prosperity well. Expectations were up, and they crapped a bed, quite frankly. No other way to put it. It really all started with the offensive line. They devoted more resources to the O-line, including their number one pick in Donovan Jackson, and 2 free agents. No team put more into the O-line than the Vikings for naught, although all those dudes will be back next year. So our first play was a miserable failure. J.J. McCarthy, 34-50. Jeez, we didn't even get close to this puppy. We didn't even get half of it, okay? This is how bad this was at minus 110, but I think we more than made up for it with the next play. This is absurd. Jackson Smith and Jigba, think about this. You could have put down $1 million on Jackson Smith and Jigba, literally bet the house. Now, granted, if he gets hurt, you're screwed. but 950 yards was the number, and he almost doubled it. I mean, that's absurd. 1,793 yards. I wish it was my number one play, but it was only my number two play. But that is clear evidence that I was very high on Jaxon Smith-Njigba this year. It's probably one of the best things I did, as I've outlined. The best thing I did all summer was tell people, look, I think you want to get in the wide receiver business early this year. Forget about Barkley. You can have him. Go wide out, come back, get Johnny Taylor or Chase Brown, then get JSN. That was a league-winning formula for sure. Now, this next one, this hurts because we had it. And I've always been a Brock Purdy person pretty much from day one. This was a joke. 23.5 minus 115. I'm like, yeah, we're going over. Well, obviously it didn't happen, but my man got 20 in nine games, including last week, which was not a good game for him, in which he got hurt. So basically, if Brock Purdy gives us two more games, because he averaged more than two touchdown passes per game, if he gets two more games, we win this puppy. But we didn't do it. It didn't happen. Injuries are a big part of it. When you play overs, you're always worried about injuries. When you're playing unders, you're kind of, let's say you're hoping, but you're knowing that that's one way, one path to victory. Now, I'm looking at my unders here. Didn't get helped by injuries. But let's move on and get into the next one we had. How about this one? I was in on Breece Hall pretty much all offseason. And then the vibes were bad in August. I was like, abort the mission. With Breece Hall, but he did get the prop, 925.5. That's saying something. As ugly as the season was for the Jets, he still got the prop. I wasn't worried about Braylon Allen. He's not that good. Breece Hall was in the final year of his rookie deal, highly motivated, another year removed from the ACL. I thought the O-line was pretty good, and all that stuck. So we got that one right. The other quarterback I liked, and this one hit big time, was Mr. Drake May. As I wrote off in the article, I read a quote from the article talking about the importance of offensive coordinators and the like, and I'm paraphrasing the article, but I'm like, I basically said, I don't think the markets are really accounting for the awesomeness of Josh McDaniels coupled with the leadership of Mike Vrabel. And that was massive, obviously, and May beat this by over 1,000 yards. So that's a good one. Now, we didn't get this one right. RJ Harvey, 725.5. As I was kind of joking with our producer, Michael Cohen, no offense to J.K. Dobbins. I've been around that dude. Seems like a stand-up guy. But I knew he was going to get hurt. He just got hurt later than I thought, pretty much. And we missed this one by like 185 yards. So it was kind of a pretty big miss. Next up, I'm going to attribute this one just to my eyeball test and scouting, because when I started looking at the running backs from this draft class, I thought Judkins was the best. I mean, other than Jenty, I thought Judkins was the second best. Let's just say, I thought he was better than Amarin Hampton. I thought he was better. Well, maybe not better, but I thought he was more of a bell cow than a Travion Henderson. So I was very high on Quinshon Judkins. Of course, I didn't know about the off the field stuff. I don't think I did. I can't even remember mid-July. I guess I didn't. I think that all that stuff came out right when training camp kicked off. So I was potentially screwed. But no, he played and he got it. 625.5 was the number, and he ran for 827. Here's another one we got wrong. Travis Hunter. And the ironic thing is I was not high on Travis Hunter. We had my friend Adam Schefter on the show the week of the opener. And I ran a couple of things up the flagpole with him, and we were totally in agreement on Travis Hunter. We're like, it's not happening. And it didn't. But I thought he would get some tutties. Maybe he would have, but he got hurt. He did get one, but that wasn't he was coming on. So he probably would have gotten three or four, and five was a possibility, but no, he got hurt. So that was a moot point. How about Deebo Samuel? I was actually high on Deebo. He goes over, and then Tyler Warren, what a joke, 817. So we went, what was that? We went 7-3, I believe. Yeah, 6-4. But here's the good news. We went 5-0 in the unders. Saquon Barkley, under 1,500.5. That was the easiest call of the year. And I said that repeatedly in July and August. If you're going to bet one thing, in the National Football League in the preseason, bet on Saquon Barkley under 1,500 yards, and you would have won. Dave Montgomery, this was close. 716 is where he ended up, 725. But my opinion was that Jahmyr Gibbs would take on more of the rushing load, and that's what happened. Montgomery the year before had 185 carries. This year, only 158, same number of games. Cooper Kupp, this felt like stealing, quite frankly. 775.5 for an aging receiver with multiple problems below the waist. Oh, yeah. Let's go under city on that one, 593. Ramondre. And my thing there was obviously Trevion Henderson, but I've seen Ramondre wear down with too much work. And I'm like, they're not going to use him as much with Henderson. And that's exactly what happened. And he was much more explosive. I mean, the guy's ripping off explosive runs in week 18. And then it pained me to put him on here, but Khalil Shakir, it was close, 775.5. He went to 719. Shout out to Khalil Shakir. I do love me some Khalil Shakir, but super spreader offense there in Buffalo. So a pretty successful preseason of prognostication. When we return, we'll talk with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. But first, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. One thing I should mention here, because obviously we're several days ahead of Wildcard Weekend, I do have a best bet for Wildcard Weekend that'll pop out at the end of the program. But now it's time to go to the Progressive Guest Line, as promised. Our guy, Mr. Tuesday, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst at fantasypoints.com on the X Machine at Call Me Steve-O. He's been in the data mining room coming up with some actionable stats and data here. Steve, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm doing well. Yeah, excited for a fun Wild Card Weekend. I feel like, I know I think I've been saying it all year, but it just kind of feels like chaos is about to ensue. Every matchup feels like it could go either way, save for a couple, but I'm excited for it.
Your Lions, my Vikings, watching the games just like us. But hey, shout out to Jahmyr Gibbs. Last Chance Saloon, I played that Gibbs over at fantasypoints.com, 61 yards. I'm like, this is a joke. And he did hit it. But let's get into it here. Let's start with an under. We were just talking about the season-long props that I popped out here. I did 5 unders in July, and they all hit, baby, because we love unders, apparently. They're boring, but winning is not boring. But what do you have on Trevion Henderson underwise?
Yeah, Trevion Henderson's line right now on FanDuel at least is at 52.5 rushing yards, and the Chargers allow just 3.66 yards per carry the last 6 weeks, which is third best in the NFL, and they allow just a 2.4% explosive run rate, which is second best in the NFL, and 1.9 yards before contact per attempt. Trevion Henderson has obviously done well this back half of the season. He's averaging 4.89 yards per carry. He has a 5.8% explosive run rate and averages 2.86 yards before contact per attempt, but 41% of his yards have come off explosive runs, which is the seventh highest percentage in the NFL. And 48.8% of his runs are stuffed, which is 15th highest in the NFL the last 6 weeks. 60% of Henderson's attempts are on man duo concepts. The Chargers allow just 3.73 yards per carry on man gap concept runs. All of that, I think that Travion gets stuffed up quite a bit this week. The Chargers have been really good at not allowing big runs, and Travion Henderson feasts on those. I think that Travion has a tougher day, and I think a lot more is put on Drake May's plate this week.
Right. Okay. Plus Ramondre, it's amazing how explosive he looks in week 18. They finally found the right combination for him because, as I've mentioned a million times, even just this week, I've been a Ramondre guy in the past, and I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I literally can see him getting worn down every year. And then he devolves basically. Well, that didn't happen this year. The stupidest stat of week 18 was Aaron Rodgers last week outproducing Lamar Jackson on the ground, which is, they should lose just because of that. The Ravens, but, I could see you're in on an Aaron Rodgers under. I'm like, hey, it's Houston. I'm going to town on unders when it comes to Rodgers. But what do you see?
Yeah, right now on FanDuel, he's at 204.5 passing yards, which I know is kind of a low number. But since week 11, Houston runs the sixth highest single high rate in the NFL, 56.2%. They have allowed 8.34 yards per attempt, which is on the higher range. But Rodgers doesn't have great receiving talent in Pittsburgh, and single high usually can help oust that. And that's why Rodgers has averaged just 6.44 yards per attempt against single high coverage, including getting beat up by the Cleveland defense the other week, getting just 4.96 yards per attempt to a team that runs, you know, upwards of 60% single high. And the big thing with Rodgers is he gets the ball out fast. He has the third fastest time to throw in the NFL at 2.41 seconds. Houston allows just 5.98 yards per attempt on throws under 2.5 seconds. And they allow just a 53.7% completion rate to targets out wide and only 4.96 yards per attempt to inline and backfield targets, which Rodgers looks to about 30% of the time. So I really think with Houston playing usually a pretty press heavy coverage, Pittsburgh's going to struggle. Houston's run defense has been, you know, not as great lately. They're giving up about 4.3 yards per carry. I think Pittsburgh is going to have to look to the ground a little bit more often to get this offense going. Even with getting DK back, this is not the secondary that DK is going to really, I think, work super well against. So I think Rodgers has a tough day against this Houston pass defense.
Talking with Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst at Fantasy Points on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O. And I'm going to take this opportunity to give a quick draft tip for those drafting, you know, somewhat typical fantasy lineup for the remainder of the playoffs. Not a good year for tight ends. I actually have Dalton Schultz as my number one tight end. The guy was third in the NFL with 82 catches at tight end. But if you're holding off, you want a cheat code, the Rams guys, namely Tyler Higbee, who went off last week, is a quality player, very talented, very experienced. And Stafford really likes him, and you have something on Higbee over in this one.
Yeah, I think Carolina kind of lines up to be a really good matchup for this Ram. I mean, I know he struggled last time, but like for these Rams tight ends, Carolina kind of feeds into what this Rams offense wants to do, which is use the tight ends to threaten the seams. And Carolina's allowed 8.46 yards per attempt to inline targets, which is bottom 10 in the NFL, and 8.75 yards per attempt to slot targets, which is bottom 10 in the NFL. Higbee, in his return last week, 83% of his routes came from either in line or in the slot. His ADOT was at about a 14, so they really used him as a seam stretcher. And Carolina runs the third highest rate of cover three in the NFL at 41%. And cover three kind of lends to there being holes up the seam availability for tight ends. I think Higbee, as a, you know, having a decent rapport with Stafford, being able to stretch the seams and work kind of over the middle. I think Higbee, his line is at just 23.5 receiving yards. Everything in Carolina, kind of they try and funnel things towards the middle. Those outside corners are pretty solid. I think that Higbee gets used more frequently again this week and does well against Carolina.
To your point, I liked Godwin last week. Middle of the field funnel, freaking Cade Otton took it all. It's unbelievable.
I know.
There you go. Cade Otton, same matchup here. Let's move on to a guy that he was my sleeper tight end of the year. It was a pretty good call. Brenton Strange. Yet you like the under for Brenton Strange. Why is that?
Yeah, this is because Buffalo's been really, really good against inline targets this year. And the last, since week 11, they've allowed just 4.47 yards per attempt to inline targets. And they've leaned a lot more too high since week 11, running about 60% too high coverage, which is third highest in the NFL since week 11. Brenton Strange is third on the team in target share against too high coverage. He averages just 1.87 yards per route run. Buffalo, I think, you know, they've done a good job of taking away the middle of the field. Those linebackers work well in pass coverage, and they go, and Teron Johnson's pretty good against like heavier sets. So I think Brenton Strange is going to kind of get ousted out of this lineup, and it's going to probably push back toward Parker Washington again this week, with especially with how much too high Buffalo runs.
Gotcha. And then last but not least, Jaden Reed, I'm sure has something to do with the Bears being a little bit of a slot funnel. Hard to trust, but Jaden Reed can easily be Jordan Love's like go-to guy, his sustainer.
Yeah, and against, you know, in the matchup a couple weeks ago against Chicago, Jaden Reed had 7 catches for 66 yards, and Chicago's allowed 8.82 yards per attempt to slot targets, which is 8th highest in the NFL. They run about 48% too high coverage, which obviously isn't the majority, but they do allow 8.86 yards per attempt to slot targets when they're in too high coverage, which is bottom 10 in the NFL. And in 2024, Jaden Reed was second on the team in target share against too high coverage. He's getting worked more into the team. The Bears have allowed 85 yards a game to slot targets since week 11. I think that, you know, Jaden Reed is going to be used as an underneath guy to get a lot of yak. We saw what Amon-Ra did against CJ Gardner-Johnson quite a bit last week. Jaden Reed has a, you know, somewhat similar wiggle, especially in that like 5 to 7 yard range. And I think that he can kind of keep that offense on pace this week.
Good stuff, Steve. I will take a lot of this under consideration, all of it under consideration for my official picks. And once again, we'll follow you on the X Machine at CallMeSteve07. Good luck with all the plays. Enjoy the game, Steve.
Thanks, John.
And we'll talk to you next week. And on the other side, we'll start popping out my player rankings for the entirety of the postseason. I'll explain some things away, how many games I'm projecting the teams to play and all that. But first, head into the new year with smarter betting strategies powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert pick and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I also have a best bet for Wild Card Weekend to pop out on the other side on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and a couple of segments to work with here. Final half of the show will deal with player rankings for the entirety of the postseason. Again, so many different variations out there and all that. One thing I do think is kind of worthless is ranking the players just for each weekend. First of all, you can only do wild card weekend. Yeah, it's nice to know, but we'll talk about all the key matchups and we'll look at all the key things when it comes to the prop world. I mean, let's be honest here. DFS and props is where it's at here. You're not doing like typical weekly lineups, basically. But if you are an old head like I am, or if you just like drafting, which, I mean, I started playing fantasy playoff drafts when I was 19. So it's not like an old head thing. It's just I like drafting. So my local league in New Jersey that I started playing in the late 80s, you know, the season ended, we're like, oh, now what do we do? it's out of a bar and we can always drink beer, but it's fun, a lot more fun to draft and drink beer. So let's do a draft for the playoffs. And that was a thing, you know, and 30, 40 years later, whatever the hell it is, 38 years later, still doing it. Well, here's how I see everything going. And look, it's all about the projected number of games, but there are some cases where, you know, I might project one guy to play in three games and another guy to play in two games, but I'll take the two game guy over the three game guy because I think his two games could be more productive than the guy's three games, and so on and so forth. And then there's always the one angle of, yeah, I think they're going to lose in round one, but they may go out with a bang pretty much and put up, you know, a game and a half's worth of production in just one game. But considering all those things, I'm considering, you know, when I made the playoff picks and these rankings, I'm considering personnel, coaching, health, experience, and momentum. Like the Jags, momentum is pretty darn big. So with that said, let's get into it here. Quarterback rankings. I've got Matthew Stafford atop the list here. I've got him playing four games. You know, that's the most of all the quarterbacks except for one other. Then I'm going to go Drake May. And I think that, you know, these two are probably top five overall picks. Trevor Lawrence. Quarterback is always a little difficult because some leagues, and also it certainly depends on the number of teams in your league. You know, I would have to say, ideally, you're only dealing with like 8-team drafts, 10-team maybe. Maybe you got a 12-team league and you can only get 8 or 10 people in. You know, like a 12-team league, you know, the bottom teams at the quarterback position are going to be kind of crappy. So it kind of, I don't know, it just kind of ruins it for me a little bit. So, you know, if you're in a 6-team league, you could certainly do a 2-quarterback league, which is, that's pretty cool. But if you're 8 or 10, I would say just go one quarterback. Stafford in that environment is a top pick, and I have him as my QB1. May is, again, sometimes quarterbacks fly off the board, sometimes they don't. But at the end of the day, if I'm picking at the top of round one and I don't know how it's going to go, I want to be in the quarterback business. It's the safest position. It's obviously the most needle moving, high impact and all that. And if your guy gets 2, 3, 4 games, you're going to be in the mix. So Stafford, May, and then my next one is going to be Lawrence, which is a little controversial. I think you could take him. Again, it's a tough call. I'd like to take him in round two, let's be honest here. And I think there's a chance we get there because, you know, brand name recognition, maybe somebody takes Hurts over Lawrence. And I think that's viable too. I mean, they are the world champions, or maybe even a Caleb Williams creates a little, probably not Caleb, but maybe Hurts. But at the end of the day, I want to come out of my draft for the entirety of the postseason with at least one quarterback that I'm pretty confident will play at least two games. So Stafford, May, Lawrence, then I would go with Jalen Hurts, and then Caleb. But I think CJ Stroud is a good one because, again, I'm projecting them to play in four games. So that's pretty significant. Now, granted, four games from Stroud could probably equal two from Hurts, you know, if Hurts runs one in, but hey, in four games, if things go as I'm projecting here, that's a lot. And it's not like they don't have weapons. Nico Collins is a legit one. Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Again, I've been singing these kids' praises all year. They're good. Dalton Schultz has been awesome all year. Then, you know, now it gets weird. Let's say I get pinched and I don't get any of these guys. Oh, wait. I can always try out Josh Allen. Now, his ranking is probably going to be all over the map because he is Josh Allen. But again, I'm projecting him to be one and done. Tough projection, close call, but that's what I'm doing. And I gotta follow suit with the ranking here. So I only have him down the board. I think he's like for me, it would have to be like in the third round. Let's say I've taken a stud running back and I got a stud receiver. And there's no more studs that I'm convinced are going to play multiple games. I'm like, all right, I'll take Josh Allen and hope for the best. And if he wins a game, I'm good. If he loses, like I expect, maybe he'll go off and score 30 points or something like that. Brock Purdy, I was very high on Brock Purdy this year. If you saw the earlier portion of the show, that was one of my preseason future bets. 23.5 touchdowns was a lock if he plays in only 10 games, basically. Just give me two more games. But no, we didn't get there. But, the problem with Purdy is he's not healthy, nor is Trent Williams, the star left tackle. Ricky is still banged up. We may have to actually just call him Ricky Pearsall now, because, I was very high on Ricky. I'm like, we don't even need to mention his last name. Just say Ricky. But now it's Ricky Pearsall, because he didn't ball out like I thought, although certainly had some big games. I mean, he did ball out more often than not, actually. It's just that he wasn't available. Sammy Darnold, I'm sorry. I'm just not buying it with Seattle, so I have him down the board. And I'm a Bo Nix and a Bronco hater. Sorry. They're annoying. I don't think Bo Nix is that good. You never know. You could sit down in front of the couch. All right, getting ready to watch some Bo Nix. You could throw for 340 or 40. Like, you just never know with that guy. Let me get into the running backs real quick. And I think I've kind of mapped out how I see things going. I see the Rams playing four games. I see the Patriots playing three games. I like the Jags to play two games. Eagles are playing two games, as far as I'm concerned. Swift is playing two games. So that's pretty much how I rank them. Kyren, I think he's a first-round pick. Trevion Henderson, probably a first-round pick, maybe toward the end, 8-9 overall, something like that. ETN, right there on the cusp. Ramondre, I think you'd probably want to get him second-rounder, although he looks incredibly explosive. Barkley, probably going to go higher than I have him. I only have him at 11 overall and at RB5. But again, I'm only projecting them to play two games. DeAndre Swift, it's kind of like a poor man's Barkley. Two games there, I'm projecting. Woodrow Marks is the kind of the sneaky one. I am projecting four games for those Texans. Of course, Marks can't buy a damn touchdown. And then now we're getting into, okay, will you take one game from James Cook over, let's say, four games from Blake Corum or two games from Kyle Manunga? I would take one game from James Cook over those guys. And then McCaffrey, too. Very difficult to handicap this, but I am projecting the Niners to be one and done. RJ Harvey comes up here next up. Again, I'm projecting them to lose. Doesn't mean I'll be right, but that's how I'm ranking the players based on Denver only playing one game. Same deal with Charbonnet and Ken Walker. I'm projecting them to only play in one game. Same with Josh Jacobs and the Green Bay Packers. They got Kyle Manungai is sneaky, because I do have the Bears playing two games. But the real sneaky one's Blake Corum. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but I thought he was going to miss week 18 because he had that ankle injury. He's out there running around, look great. So I'm like, all right, he's a quick healer. And he is well in the mix to get 35-40% of the backfield touches. So that's a good one. Amarian Hampton, later on in the draft, sure, sometimes you can't have everything. Sometimes you say, all right, I'm just going to punt on my RB2 spot and I'll take a guy who's a one-and-done candidate. But hey, they could win. And even if they do lose, he could lose big. Amarian Hampton, Kenny Gainwell, Rico Dowdle are the three best options there. Then followed by Jalen Warren. And I got Bashiel Tootin. That's a very, very deep sleeper for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bashiel Tootin this past week, I believe he did score, right? Over Travis Etienne. Not a bad young prospect there. Not a bad late pick, last pick of the draft. When we return, we'll talk wide receivers. It's the deepest position in the playoffs. Then we'll get into tight end. Not so deep. I do have a cheat code pick that you can wait until the very end of your draft and get a very potentially needle-moving option there at tight end, plus a best bet for wildcard weekend coming at you next year on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here on a Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. Fantasy has been my deal for, I lost track. It's over 30 years, 32 maybe. Started when I was six. No, I was a little older than that. But ranking players for the entirety of the postseason. And of course, as we've mentioned, we are using my projected number of games in my bracket to rank the players. Obviously, more games equal more points. Let's get into it. I've got Puka Nacua as the number one wide receiver and the number one player overall. These numbers are represent the overall ranking, and we're going to list them in the positional ranking. So Puka Nacua is numero uno, and I would take him at numero uno in a draft. Nico Collins, I've got as the second wide receiver among all wideouts, and I'll take him. I got him at four. I have him with four games. I have him at two, actually. So I think I may have adjusted that since I've sent this graphic. I think I bumped him down to three is what it is. I think it was Puka, Stafford, Nico. But yeah, he's an alpha on the team that I'm projecting to play in four games, just like Puka. Next up, I think I could take him end of round one. I've got him at seven overall. And I have him as my third wide receiver projected to play in four games, Mr. Davante Adams. Obviously, the hammy is the big concern there. But I was actually very high on Davante Adams. My rule is, and I've said this week, I believe, or maybe last week when we did the New Year's resolutions. I'll draft your ass if you're an old guy, presuming you're Canton bound. That's it. If you're on the fringe like Keenan Allen, sorry, dude. Only going to take you if you're guaranteed to be sized up for a gold jacket like Davante Adams is. But you do worry about the injury. Next up, AJ Brown. And we fall off a cliff here, by the way. So now we have a bunch of guys that are very similar. So if I'm going to hold off on one position, well, two, it's tight end and wide receiver. I'm placing a higher priority on quarterback and running back, especially like that. Well, there's only like a handful of like really choice running backs, two Patriots. So yeah, you can hold off a little bit at wide receiver and still do okay in your playoff draft. Now, Brown, I'm not taking him in the first round. Stephon Diggs, I've got him as the fifth ranked wide receiver for the entire playoffs, 17 overall. So that would be a second round pick. Projecting him to play three games. Obviously, he's a little bit of a hothead. He's got some off the field stuff that we're a little worried about. As a Vikings fan, by the way, not for nothing, when they traded him, you know what I said? Good. Get the hell out of here. And we traded him. We got that Justin Jefferson pick. So it was great. You know, you can't deal with these diva receivers, man. I know AJ Brown's one of them too. Like, you know, give me Jacoby Myers all day long. That's a non-diva receiver, and he's next. And I'll take him right after Diggs. I'll take him as, you know, ideally he slips a little bit, third, fourth round. But, you know, I am feeling pretty good about the Jags and Myers. By the way, how did Trevor Lawrence turn around? I would argue Jacoby Myers. What changed? I mean, Jacoby Myers. They got Jacoby Myers. So, I mean, they re-signed him. He's a fixture now. Next up, Devontae Smith. I do like the Eagles to play two games. Next up, it's Roma Dunze, which is a little iffy, but, I mean, they were very cautious with that foot. He did get some practice in last week, so I would imagine he's, I would say, good to go, but he's going to play. And he is the one for the Bears, you know. Problem is, I know they're going to play Philly, per my bracket, and he'll probably get shut out there. Parker Washington, ballin'. I mean, you might want to take him over Roma Dunze right there. It's close enough. And then now we're kind of depleted for the most part. There's a couple exceptions on the wideouts that I think are going to play in two games that are good. So then I go, okay, well, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is unbelievable, and I could be wrong. Seattle could win. Problem with Seattle is they don't play this week. And based on how I see the playoffs going, they'll play the Rams. And I got the Rams winning. So that's problematic. But yet, JSN could put up, you know, two games worth of production in just one game. And a very similar thought process here with Courtland Sutton, who I have at 32 overall and, you know, down the board a little bit at wide receiver. But this is a little bit of a sweet spot, though, I would say, between like Parker Washington, Luther Burden's a really good one, Sutton and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and then Khalil Shakir, too. Again, I'm projecting those last three guys to only play in one game, but they could go out with a bang. Same with Juwan Jennings and Tet McMillan, of course. DJ Moore, Jaden Higgins is a real good sleeper. I mean, the guy caught a 75-yard tutty 2 weeks ago. And I believe he scored again last week, right? And then Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, he is a guy that people were taking. And people like me, unfortunately, were ranking in the top 10 overall this summer. So, I mean, you could do worse. If the Jags go on a run, he could be a great sleeper. Then Kayshon Booty. Love me some Kayshon Booty. And then Kyle Williams, who is a big play threat, obviously. It's a little volatile, but when he hits, he could hit big. Let's move on to the tight ends real quick. And again, here's my cheat code. Hold off for two things. One, maybe Dalton Schultz will get a lack of respect as he's gotten pretty much all year, and then you can get him. Because I got him playing four games. I mean, all the dude did was catch 82 balls. Tied for third most in all of football. I was actually very high on Schultz this summer. I'm like, am I the only one that notices that no one gives a rat's patootie about Dalton Schultz? And there it is. 82 catches later, third in football at tight end. And he's been damn good all year. He's boring, but he's still good. Colston Loveland, not boring. A little more volatile, though. Only projecting two games. But if I'm right and they win this week, I mean, he could get you 3-4 games worth of production in just two games. Hunter Henry, I've always liked Hunter Henry, but he's kind of driven me a little crazy because, well, super sprinter offense and all that. But, hey, you could do worse. I'm projecting him to play three games. I've got him as the third-ranked tight end. I'd take him, you know, third round. Dallas Goedert had a good year. Not feeling great about it, but he did have a good year. Philly, by the way, I just have 2023 vibes. Big time for the Eagles. If you recall, they lost their offensive coordinator. It was left in the hands of basically Nick Sirianni, who I don't know what the hell he does. And they lost four of their last five and then died in the playoffs. Then they got Kellen Moore and things were great. And then they lost Kellen Moore. Now we're back to where we were in 2023 with an offense that looks like they're kind of like zombies. They're like half alive, half dead all year. Anyway, Brenton Strange is next on my list. And notice I've got Kittle down the board. Not only is he banged up, Brock Purdy's banged up, Trent Williams banged up, but certainly you might get to a point in your draft, third, fourth round, you're like, ah, what the hell, I'll take George Kittle. Why? Because he's George Kittle. Next up, my sneaky sleeper is Tyler Higbee. I took him once in a startup dynasty draft. I'm not proud of it, over TJ Hockenson. And I was a big Hockenson guy. Guess what? He's underwhelmed. And Higbee's been all right. He's certainly had some injury problems. And then if you miss out on Higbee, don't worry, because we got other Ram tight ends. We can go Colby Parkinson. And then if need be, we can even go Terrence Ferguson. But that would be, you know, pretty desperate times, desperate measure there. But that's it. That's how I see things going. Last thing on the agenda is a best bet that I will pop out on the in actually one moment, right after I remind you to stay tuned for Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and our guy Ben Stevens on today's show. Adam Burke shares his early week NFL playoff betting positions. And then it's Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 p.m. Eastern. Then stick around for VSiN Prime Time with Matt Humans and Tim Murray at 7 p.m. Well, the best bet is seems pretty obvious here. The Rams are favored to win by 10 points. I don't think anyone is expecting the Carolina Panthers to emerge victorious. Obviously, you end games by running it out with the clock and the football. And I know we have Blake Corum, but I'm going to go over Kyren Williams' rushing number here, 65.5 yards. I went back and I looked. I kind of expanded out my sample size. Last half of the season, basically the final eight games of the season, Carolina's run defense slipped up. They give up the sixth most rushing yards on zone concept runs in that span, eight games, 628 yards. In that same span, Kyren Williams, 50% of his carries are on those zone concepts. He's averaging 5.19 yards per carry. So I think he'll get volume, probably pop one off and hit the number. Good luck with that play. We'll catch you manana for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.